Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 120. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
I'm David Brackenbury.
And I'm Travis Ham.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we'll be mainly looking back on month four and the whole church songs in the 12 Song Challenge in the company of two fabulous team leaders, and then setting a new challenge for May. Welcome, Sam, Travis and David.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Thanks, Joel.
Really good. Sam, I like you, but I love these two. So it's really good. I mean, I love you too.
Wow.
But I'm feeling the love for these two more right now, because it's been ages since we've had you both on the pod. So it's great to see you. Dear listener, you can't see them, but they're looking gorgeous. So Travis, quickly tell us where you are in the world and something about you.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm a worship pastor here in Fort Worth, Texas. I've been serving my church for almost 18 years now. My wife and I have been married for 19 years. We've got three kids. My daughter just turned 15, so she'll be getting a learner's permit soon to drive, which is very strange. Got a son in the middle who's about to turn 12, and a little guy who's 6 years old. So they keep us busy, and it's delightful.
Oh, I bet they do. David, over to you.
Yeah, so I'm following Travis's template. I'm David. I'm from Hull, which is on the east coast of England. Not many people know where it is because you don't really travel through it. You either travel to it or you avoid it completely.
Or away from it.
But we did manage to get Resound there once a few years back. I'm married. Celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary last year. I would say we've got four kids, but we actually now have one adult and three kids. So our oldest has turned 18.
Wow.
So that keeps us busy.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, it's great to have you both here. You've both been involved in 12 Song Challenge for a long time and helped with team leading and other such things. In fact, once upon a time, David was known as Forum Dad.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Now he has many siblings amongst the the dads, the uncles, the aunts. Sam, we did a fun thing last week, didn't we?
We did.
I thought it'd just be nice to say, were you involved in setting it up, or did you just kind of get invited?
Not really. Years ago, Sarah and I did a book with the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity called Whole Life Worship, not to do with whole church worship, even though they sound very similar, which was about whole life discipleship. And ever since that time, LICC have been talking about, wouldn't it be great to have a collection of songs that really pushes into this idea of whole life discipleship, and, you know, every day and every action given to Jesus. And they had been talking about it for a long, long time, and Andy Flanagan got involved, and then they pulled in Integrity Music. So we had quite the collection of songwriters there, plus me and Joel.
Yeah. It was kind of terrifying, wasn't it, in that
sense?
It
was a little bit, yeah.
But also lovely. And so the model, which is, this is not a new model at all, is it? But kind of a bit of input. And they had a sort of smattering of theologians around the place. And then when we got into small groups to start trying to write songs, you got one free theologian in your group, like a bonus, member. So it was really nice. You constantly had them kind of chucking out theology and getting involved in the writing process. I have to say, I have been throughout my life a reluctant co-writer, I've done co-writing and stuff, but this thing of, you know, you just go and sit in a room with a blank piece of paper and try and write a song together has always terrified me. Mm. And certainly the first couple of attempts were quite scary and sort of took a while to find my feet in that. How did you feel, Sam?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I think we're used to, with the Resound process, if it is a co-write, it tends to be, I write a bit of it, come to you, we sort of play it through together, and I say, all right, you take it off now and you work on it a bit more, or we're sort of exchanging things via email or something. Whereas this was literally, you're sort of staring at each other in a room and you've got maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours to kind of go from nothing to quite a song, is what they were expecting.
Yeah.
But interestingly, I thought particularly on day two, it really bore fruit, and the songs that were particularly shared at the end of day two were really strong.
Yeah. So One of the fun details was on the we were just there for 2 days. On the second morning, they took us to the Houses of Parliament. So we got a little tour in Westminster, and members of the effectively sort of Westminster chaplaincy team came and showed us around. It was really lovely. It was really inspiring. And it really sort of shifted everything. You could tell when we got back from that with the songwriters. And I had a really, really special little experience, because underneath the underneath Parliament, there's a chapel called St. Mary's Undercroft. And it's a tiny little chapel, but it's incredibly ornate. It's sort of lined in gold, and also it's a really beautiful, incredible place. And we all went in there, and these just in sort of little groups of about six of us, I think. And everyone who went in, we all sat, we had a cheeky little sing while we were in there. And in my group, I was in a group, I had Noel Robinson. If you know Noel, he's 100 miles an hour and just kind of, and we walked in there and we had Graham Kendrick in our little group as well. And Noel starts singing Shine Jesus Shine. And he's like, come on, join in. Oh, all right. So then we all started to, and then just this amazing moment where we just sang the chorus of Shine Jesus Shine gently in, you know, six part harmony, just mooching around this little chapel underneath the Houses of Parliament. And with every line, you just thought, wow, this is such a powerful thing to be singing in this place. Shine Jesus Shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word and let them. By the end of it, I was choking up as we were singing it in this place. Yeah. And I was standing next to Graham Kendrick while I did it. So it was such a fun thing. Such an inspiring moment.
It was pretty good. Yeah. We also got to meet, got some time with an MP and a baroness. So from the House of Commons and House of Lords. And they were... one was from the Labour Party, one was from the Conservative Party, and they only had a few minutes to speak to us.
But just basically left and right for those for our non-UK listeners.
Yeah, and they spoke from the hearts, and they encouraged us as writers, and they challenged us as well to be, you know, writing stuff that was challenging. And they were saying about how the song, you know, we seek your kingdom, which had been written by some of the people in the room, you know, had really made a difference in Parliament and had changed things when it had been sung in Parliament. And so I think, again, like you say, Joel, we all came back from that sort of properly inspired. And I think that part of this, it was partly that we were more used to writing together, but it was also that sort of sense of God really speaking to people in there that made those songs on the second day quite special.
Yeah. So do you think from now on we need to have field trips for every monthly challenge for the...
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be
really,
really
cool?
I have absolutely no idea how we'd organise it, but wouldn't it really would be actually fantastic. Maybe we should do that. Maybe that could be a Wydale thing. Maybe there's a...
We could do one on birds, and James could take us to see
Definitely
the puffins.
Do one on birds and go and see the puffins, yeah. Did you see the puffins, Travis, when you came over?
I did not see the puffins, but I do still... But I still remember... famously, James's, you know, love for puffins. Like, I've never met somebody who has had a greater love for puffins. James is amazing. I love that guy.
Yeah. I think that is true. I think that's true. All right. Let's get stuck into the 12-song challenge. 12-song challenge. The challenge for April was to write whole church songs. And I've got to say, I've got queued up the songs that the various team leaders have picked out, and there is some serious creativity in here. I think this is an amazing set of songs. However, it's fair to say some found it a little bit challenging at the outset, didn't they, Sam?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I think, you know, I didn't want to box you in. I think we'd done sort of all age songs before as a sort of theme, so we didn't want to retread that so much, but we probably gave you too many options, and some people felt that the options were kind of contradictory that we were sort of suggesting. So hopefully, I think it was nice to see in my team there was quite a bit of a frenzy in the last few days, so I think people did get stuff in by the end, but apologies for that. Just want to reiterate, if we give you a bunch of ideas, please don't think you have to then write a song that fills all of those criteria. You know, just these are exercises, so you know, just grab whatever is sparking ideas for you, and you know, just run with it however it works for you. Don't think you have to fit too closely into what we say.
Yeah. So shall we, well, no, I want to hear a little bit actually from Travis and David. Start with Travis, just kind of general impressions of the month and how people got on with it.
Sure. So a few general impressions. One would be that I definitely noticed that participation was down a little bit this month. And I don't know if some of that is, you know, everybody was pushing through so hard in these first 3 months and then hit Easter and maybe in a bit of malaise now as we're kind of overcoming just the massive amount of work that I know has been on everybody's plate. Though, so I will say it was neat to see some of the, as you mentioned, the creativity that came out as people thought through what would work well for my entire church. And in some cases, that meant writing bilingual songs. In some cases, that meant writing songs that were really focused on what would be accessible to kids and yet still engaging to adults. There was even a 12-bar blues that came up in my team at one point in time. So, so again, a little bit less involvement, and yet the people who did dig in, it was fascinating to see the breadth of things that they came up with as a result.
Yeah, I think I'd echo that within Team Marlin, the kind of delay to get going. I think when you've been around on the challenge a while, you kind of see that often people will wait to see some songs land to kind of work out where they're fits. And sometimes people won't listen at all to the thread until they've completed their song, so they're not kind of swayed by that. So I think almost one feeds the other, that as people are a bit delayed in getting going, that also delays other people in kind of getting going. Probably quite a strong theme within our team was around the kind of body imagery. So we've got probably between a third and half of the songs that pick up on that imagery. And then some of the comments coming on that, almost like a wistful, wouldn't it be great if the church was like that, but ... And I guess it just reminds you of how important that teaching was and is, because we still don't get it right. And hopefully some of the songs that we've written this month might give a bit of a voice to that. And then, some of those things that you picked up on, Travis, some of the things, thinking particularly of your church context. And I think that's always a beautiful thing about the challenge. You get that little kind of pull back the curtain on another person's expression of corporate worship. And it's never a song that your church would sing, not because it's not good, but it just kind of isn't written with that in mind. But just understanding how different kind of churches do it on any given Sunday is just really powerful and exciting to hear.
Don't you think that's one of, if not the most enriching thing about being part of this 12 Song Challenge, is that exposure to other people's communities and contexts and approaches and traditions and other things? I just feel like we grow so much from that.
Yeah, completely. Totally.
I was blown away the other day when with Sally, who posted a video of her and some of her other members of her church singing a song that she'd written in a previous month. It just blew me away seeing somebody from my team, and then seeing the people of her local congregation engaging with the song that this community helped her to craft. It made my heart sore.
Yeah, really wonderful.
Yeah, I think thinking of stuff like that, it's just kind of recognizing we are privileged at being there at like the birth of these songs. We hear it as it is first formed, as it comes out, as like version 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that nobody ever hears because it's 6 that kind of then gets sung in that church setting. And yeah, just that real sense of privilege that we see these songs taking on a life and being used for their purpose. It's great.
David, have I made this up? Or is your wife a midwife?
You have made that up. She'd like to be a midwife.
Oh, no, she totally isn't. Made up. That's a shame. That's... I don't know where I got that from. Somebody I know's wife is a midwife, and then I could have talked all about being there at the birth and so on. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
We still can, but
I can. But... Have I made this up, David, or are you a midwife?
For the sake of the podcast, yes, I am.
Yes, you are the bearded midwife. Shall we? Let's pick out some highlights. So I've asked some of the team members, some of the team leaders, to send in a song each, and let's start with German Bite. And Andy Clark has picked out a song from Tyler Stitt called God is Holding My Hand. And Andy said, this is such a catchy little number. Engaging for kids, of course, but also I can see adults applying the simple imagery here and expanding it further into their own context.
When the sky's as cloudy as it can be, God is holding my hand. When the blues are chasing after me, God is holding my hand. Where can I run? Where can I roam? You're here with me and you won't let go. My constant friend and loving King, God is holding my hand. and flowers sing for joy. God is holding my hand when my friends and family are all nearby. God is holding my hand. Where can I run? Where can I roam? You're here with me and you won't let go. My constant friend and loving King. God is holding my hand. When the time for sleep and rest has come, God is holding my hand. He will stay with me till the night is done. God is holding my hand.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you sort of think, oh, I've been writing songs for, I don't know, 30 years or something, and then I just, you listen to it, you just, oh, Taylor's just nailed it. And one short song with a few words. That's how you do it. Oh, really good.
So good.
Really good. Let's have another.
Yep. So Olwyn has picked Chris Taylor from Portland. This is also a bit of a cheat because it's also Mike Clifford from my team as well. Mike wrote some lyrics based on Dr. Charlotte Naylor Davis's thoughts on disability theology, being careful not to portray anyone as weaker or inferior. And Chris and Mike then wrote several different tunes and have landed on one that's, you can find if you scroll down the comments of the third version. So this is that.
Looking at you, I see something divine. Made in God's image, one of design. Formed by your struggles and bearing deep scars. God's presence in you will shine like a star. Seeing God's image in each other's eyes unveils the truth and makes us realize that everyone's made in God's likeness, it's true. In you and in me and in all that we do. You and in me and in all that we do.
That's all we get, because it was just like a last little, here's a tune idea. So I just did a verse and chorus, but there's more. If you want to read the rest of the words, you can head on to the
onto
the forum.
Yeah, that's strong. All right, so next up from Team Fisher, Andrew Vinden has chosen Phil Reinhardt's song, Pray for Each Other. Phil writes, my church is a mainly older Jamaican congregation, and they love reggae music. There's hardly any for them to sing. I tried this one last week, and they love it, so here it is. Jesus commanded us to pray for each other, and that's what the message is in this song.
Let's give thanks for blessing.
A lot of work gone into that.
Yeah,
I think we need a reggae Sunday.
Reggae Sunday. I like this idea. I mean, it's really simple, isn't it? Like, who's in my church? Oh, it's lots of older Jamaicans. What sort of music do they like?
Exactly.
All right, some of that then. All right,
well done, Phil.
If you can. It's good if you can pull it off, isn't it?
You know, the same thing happens here in Texas, because sometimes we think that we're so advanced and modern and everything, and yet if I'll play something that's a little bit country gospel on a Sunday, our people light up in a way that nothing else connects to them.
Yeah.
There's something in their blood about get to down to the core of the vernacular of, you know, of a people.
Yeah.
And it just you know, light something up. It's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
So Team Fitzroy, Ruth and Rob have put forward Tim Rock, and we are waiting at the gates looking in. And in the write-up for the song, Tim writes, "This song builds on the social model of disability, where people are disabled by structures in society, by attitudes of people towards disability, including disabled people's own, and by our impairments." And he recommends, if you want to read more about the experience of disabled people and the church, he recommends the following book called At the Gates by Naomi Lawson Jacobs and Emily Richardson. So this is We Are Waiting at the Gates Looking In.
We are waiting at the gates looking in, with churches who will pray for us, then blame us for our sin, who will ask God for the faith that moves mountains out the way, but who struggle with our lives from day to day. We are waiting. Oh, we are waiting. We meet God through eyes that cannot see, and through minds that process differently, with bodies that are broken. Jesus joins us in our pains and helps us to follow him again. We are following. Oh, we are following. Disabled disciples are created and loved, made in God's image, not mistakes from above. Following Jesus in his brokenness, he was wounded at the hands of others, rejected by the words of his friends.
I don't know him, know him, know him.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, I think that's great for me in terms of it just showing how different people in the community were already kind of engaging with this kind of material and, yeah, and thinking and reading around it, and how there's such a kind of richness that comes with that kind of study that's gone on prior and that kind of wrestling with the topic. So, yeah.
Yeah. And a kind of willingness to name some stuff as well. Like, you know, it's being bold in, especially in the challenge, you might as well try naming some stuff and see, exactly, see what happens, yeah, you know, rather than kind of edit everything out as soon as you start. So I think that's really... it's really good. Team Lundy, Elise Massa, has brought us this song from Dan Raymond called The Body of Christ. Actually, the file name is The Body of Chris, but I'm assuming that's a mistake. But this is where Dan says, "Our children's pastor uses the phrase all ages and all stages, which was the original starting point of this song. Along the way, I drew primary inspiration from Colossians 3:12-14 and Paul's multiple uses of the body of Christ metaphor, which we often use in our context to reference our church community."
All ages, all stages of faith and of life, gathered together, one with another, united in Christ, sharing together across the divide. We are the body of Christ. We lift up our hands and together we praise our God, who from age to age is the same. We lift up our voices together as one, worship the Father, the Spirit, the Son. Together we become the body of Christ. All bearing, all sharing the image of God, unique in our gifts, yet together lift what we have to the Lord. Knit us together in this place.
Good stuff.
Well, yeah, done. Very strong.
Chris Juby has put forward for Team Fastnet Andrew Clayton's song Good Fruit, of which Andrew himself says, mostly it's just the most almighty foot tapper. That's his comment. It's also a Bruno song, so I think we're going to be starting sort of midway through to, so we get the sort of Bruno part of the overlapping vocals in the bridge section. But also, Chris Juby's comment was, it's just so fruity.
Good fruit, love, joy, peace, and patience. Good fruit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Good fruit, gentleness, and self-control. Good fruit, love, joy, peace, and patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Good fruit, gentleness, 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 goodness, faithfulness.
We sing of freedom
with the body of Christ Jesus.
Whoever is in need.
A living church with the roar of heaven,
serving every day.
Come on, how about that?
Oh, wow. I think Andrew's having a lot of fun with that.
That is quite something. I feel like I need to explain. I also need to, just in case anyone has fallen into the podcast out of nowhere, when we say Bruno song, well, you probably know now, because if you listen to that, it's very reminiscent, but we reference Lin-Manuel Miranda song, Let's Talk About Bruno. No, we don't talk about, you know the one, the Bruno. And we now have this idea of songs with different layers and different parts for different people. And we've sort of come to call them Bruno songs. But this one, Andrew's key thing is that instead of talking about fruitfulness, he talks about fruitiness. And then what's quite clever with this one is I'm fairly sure that the harmony is different for the different parts. You feel like you're singing different parts with different chords, but then somehow they all stack up anyway, and it works.
There's a musical direction at the bottom which just says, utter chaos, everything should fit somehow.
There's also a dance break in there, but we just didn't have time for it. So there you go. Oh, what have we got?
David, we want a video, Andrew.
David, tell us about your team.
Yeah, so one of my favourite things about the songwriting retreat is you arrive in and you look at that initial table and you see lots of names of people that you know, and then you see names of people that you don't know. And that's mirrored slightly on the 12-song challenges. Suddenly your team grows by a number. And like a diligent shepherd, I'll go and find who that extra sheep is who's been added to my flock. And this month it was somebody called Donna Matthews. So she said this is her first song posted in the 12-song challenge. It sounds like it has a really strong musical style, but Donna said she wasn't particularly sold on the style, and we'll try and work out what her style is going forward. I think some of the feedback on the comments is, if this isn't your style already, this should probably be your style going forward. So it's called Unity and Diversity. And I think what you were mentioning earlier about your congregation, Travis, potentially they will jump all on the back of this one. It is great.
Now we in Christ, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of him. He is our peace. He has made us one. He broke down the walls of hostility. Now everybody is precious and unique, each bringing different gifts and strengths to share. So we choose to put on love and discard all that divides, to maintain the unity bond of peace. Speak in tongues, but if I don't have love, I am just a clanging noisy bell. If I have prophetic powers, and
I just love that moment when you press play on something and you've got no idea what's about to follow, and then you just hear something, it's like, this is great.
I don't know whether this is all, just sort of looking through the words, whether these are more or less sort of word for word verses, aren't they? Kind of squeezed in.
That's a bit of a precursor, isn't it, to something that might be happening later.
Fantastic. Okay, let's keep going. Where are we at?
Absolutely. So next up for Team Shannon. My team, goodness, so many great songs this month, but I want to just highlight Joy Morgan's song, Our Shepherd, Always by Our Side. Her song, she structured it in a bit of a strophic hymn format. Each verse walks through different seasons of life and highlights how Jesus is faithfully there with us in each stage. In verse one, she looks at the wonder of childhood. In verse two, the ups and downs of adolescence. In verse three, the tensions of adulthood. And in verse four, moving on to the twilight of life. Those last two verses especially are really, really strong. And the whole song was already pretty wonderful when she posted the first version, but it was great then to see her push on and the community continue to pour in and to hear it even get stronger in its revision.
His love to the childlike hearts, taking our first steps, grasping at creation, blindly trusting in the helping hand, helpless, precious, starry eyed, you are shepherd.
Really moving, isn't it? Yeah. Great job, Joy.
And from my team, Cromarty, we have Liz Bryant, and she has also tried to write a Bruno-style song, although less Latin with this feel, but something that sort of layers up. And she's done it based on Luke 12, 22 to 31.
Treasure with the Father in heaven. There is nothing there that can destroy. This hope will surely last forever, and in Him you will find joy. What are you treasuring?
Say,
I mean, I think that's pretty fantastic.
We jumped in there like midway through so that we could get the three parts together.
It doesn't quite suddenly hit you in an avalanche quite like that, really. But
did you hear how they all broke apart and then came back together? The parts was pretty brilliant.
I think really good. And thematically, there's a really clear little theme there through there, this kind of idea of the Lily's, you know, the kind of Bible verses and stuff. There's a kind of strong little Bible thread holding it together about worry and storing up treasure and things. And I felt every part there was a really lovely melody. I just feel like that one has got a chance of working. We're setting a big challenge with these Bruno ones, but I can hear a church singing that. Can I say, listeners, if you've been writing any Bruno songs, I want to hear your church. Can you get them in your church and get the live feed on? And come on, we want to hear. We want to know if this works, because this is our big... our big theory about worship songwriting that maybe we've completely missed.
Joel wants to retire on his Bruno songs.
Basis of the next album.
The next album, Bruno songs. Yeah, I think that'd be really good. Right, we got one left. Is it me? It's finally, Team Viking. This is by Amy Smith. It's called Let the Children Come. And this is what Amy writes. I wanted a song for children that could be used in a family service. The verse that kept coming to mind was when Jesus said to let the children come to him. I am an elementary music teacher, so today I have my third graders work with me to do this short song. They came up with the main melody, were very proud of themselves, and I told them I was posting here, so give some good feedback for them. Well, Team Viking has stepped up with the feedback, but the children of the third grade in Amy's school have absolutely stepped up.
Wow. I'm looking for the golden buzzer.
Wow, that was great.
Yeah.
A bunch of third graders came up with that. Good night.
Travis, what is the, how old are they, third graders?
Third grade, that's going to be what, 9 or 10 years old? No, not even that. About 9 years old or so.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Isn't that wonderful? Skills. Oh.
I think we just end the podcast there.
I was going to say, those third graders have won the 12-song challenge. We send everyone else home. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, Amy. And then finally, we have to name a star of the month. And I've got to tell you, the statistics do not lie. The star of the month for this month is... Heidi Cather.
Star, 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 star of the month.
Heidi, if we pronounce your surname wrong, please email in and tell us. But we checked with Travis, and he's American, and he had no idea. But that's okay. Fantastic. Thank you, Heidi. Just pouring out loads of helpful comments and feedback and encouragement to people. So we love highlighting the star of the month. We love checking in on who is being a real great friend to everybody who's involved. So there's an easy way to win it. Easy. It's really easy. You just, I mean, it's hard, but it's a simple idea, but it's hard, but it's easy. You know what I'm saying? Should we do the May challenge?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The challenge for May with an accompanying interview is word for word scripture songs.
I don't understand, Joel.
Okay.
So confusing.
Well, it's pretty complex. What you do is you take a bit of the Bible, a verse, a few verses, and using only the words in that bit of the Bible, you make a song. So here's how it's going to work. You get the basic idea. Like this is it's fairly clear from the name, isn't it? Okay, you can only use one Bible translation, and unless you know if you are a kind of if you speak you know Koine Greek or something, then you can and you can do your own translation, fine. But essentially, use one Bible translation, and I would say try and use the one that's in the pews in your church, if there is such a one, because that way you kind of connect. There's something really powerful about using those words, I think. Limit yourself to only the words that are in there, and basically in the order they happen, but feel free to use a bit of repetition and looping around. I would say, really importantly, it doesn't have to be a kid's song. I hope we get some kid's songs, but I hope we also get a load that aren't kid's songs as well, because I don't think this needs to only be for kid's songs. I would also say, don't try and pack too much in. Be kind to yourself and to anybody who's trying to join in singing. Now we can talk a bit about the sort of how you might approach this, and there's stuff to do with finding the cadence of the words and other such things, trying to find the melody that's in them, trying to line up stresses and find cheeky little rhymes in there and other stuff. I've done an interview to accompany this with the excellent Randall Goodgame, who is most well known for Slugs and Bugs, which is a kind of kids family thing. And it's a lot of what he does is writing word for word scripture songs. And it started out being something that they did for kids. And now he's working on he told me he's going to the publishers anytime this week or next week, a kind of a hymnal that's all word for word scripture songs. So it's a really great interview. Loved interviewing Randall. We've been big fans of him in my house on car journeys, listening to the Slugs and Bugs CDs for a number of years. So that was really cool to get to meet him. That's kind of how it is. What are you thinking, chaps, about this? How are you going to approach it? Any tips, pitfalls?
I think for me, it's that challenge of it being absolutely word for word. Like the number of times I've thought I'm quoting scripture and I discover I'm not, I'm quoting a song lyric that is very close to scripture, but isn't the same as scripture. That the kind of focus of making it that, I think, is going to be a real test in terms of how you select and as you've said, how much of that you do. I wonder whether it might be useful as well, like we did on the Heroes Challenge, putting in brackets who the hero is, maybe putting in brackets after the song, what translation people have used, just to kind of get a bit of a sense of how that works through.
So I'd start out with there's a few artists that do this really well. Yep. There's a collection of artists that have released stuff under the project called Verses. If you just look up on Spotify, cool. Verses, it's been going on for a number of years now. There's a few people even from Texas, like Caroline Cobb and Paul Demmer, who've been on there, as well as artists like Citizens, Aaron Strumpel, Paul Zock, Joel Olympic. There's a pretty wide variety of musical styles, which is great because you realize, like, okay, like you were saying, it's not just something for kids. It can be for all ages and stages, to pull from earlier. Mm-hmm. So most of what they've done tends to lean towards a really mellow kind of indie folk rock sort of thing. Another artist who does this really well, his name's Adam Wright, but he releases music under the project The Corner Room. Adam, he'll take both short passages, and sometimes he'll take really long sections of scripture text, and he just crafts these incredible melodies that you go, how could you even make the meter of all that fit together? But he does it masterfully. His take on Psalm 23 is a great introduction to his work. As far as how I would do it, goodness, I would say focusing on just the prosody of it's going to be really good. And I think Randall's going to talk to this better than I will, but the idea of making sure that the way that both stable and unstable parts just fit together. Like I was thinking just yesterday, like what's a verse? So went to Romans 5:8, our church uses a New International Version of, so, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's so many natural stresses and pauses and things that kind of go back and forth. And then to even think about, a guy named Pat Pattison, who's a renowned Berkeley songwriting professor, he broadens the idea of prosody to not just being the way that patterns of rhythm and sound are used in poetry, but the idea that every part of a song would fit with every other part. So that would include melody. And so to think about how that prosody applies to natural rises and falls and tensions and resolutions, And so, you know, if you're saying, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, you can just hear how there might be, maybe that's not the right melody, but at least it, just the natural stresses tend to suggest something that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really good. I'm thinking of it from slightly the other direction, which is what passage of scripture do I really want my church to really get in their hearts? Because as soon as you put something to a song, it has the potential of really going deep, right? Yeah. And we are in a little season where our pastor has decided we're going to really sit in the, you know, when Jesus goes back to his hometown and gets the scroll and reads, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And we're going to live in that passage for quite a long time. We're not even sure how long yet. And so I'm thinking maybe that's the bit for me that I would want to get into my church, because we're going to really spend some time in that. Mm. So that might, you know, push me to think, well, this is the text that I want to set. And then the challenge is then to set it.
Yeah. That's really helpful, Sam. Actually, we're just about to try and start a new little Bible study group in our village, and I decided we're going to go through Colossians. We're going to start there, just start at the beginning of Colossians. And so now I'm thinking, all right, well, we need to have the first meeting, and I've got to see which verses sing out, and then we're going to, and that maybe that's the place to start. That would be really exciting, wouldn't it? I feel like. This is a good exercise to try and do on the page. You know, this is one of those things you've got to, again, talking to Randall about it, you know, spend time praying, spend time immersing yourself in it, doing this kind of, I've done a similar exercise. I sort of call it the thespian thing, where you overpronounce all the words and in order to find the melodies. And, but I think on the page, you can look at things like what are similar shapes? Are there words in, that rhyme with each other? Can you sort of line them up, and what does that do to the format and the shape of the thing you're going to sing? But what about, gentlemen, we have a few writers amongst us who really only do lyrics, who, you know, often hymn writers or hymn texts. So how are they going to approach this?
Control C, Control V.
This is the easiest month ever.
It's so easy. I mean, let's be honest. If that's what you do, you're all right. You've done it. So I think the thing then is that there is all of that kind of preliminary work, finding the shape, finding the rhythms. It might be that these people are going to have to kind of get this text, put some bold stresses in it or something, find a way of displaying it almost visually to say, look, this is how. Or even do it as a spoken word piece, you know. Mm. So don't include with any music, but actually, and even record yourself speaking it. And then maybe someone else will step in and say, "Oh, I hear that. I can now hear. I love that rhythm. I could help. I could step in and do a melody."
Well, the good news is too, they have 30 days. So you know, this might be a month where, even though their natural bent is towards lyrics and content, that this is a month where they get a little bit further outside their comfort zone. I know for me, my natural bent is lyrics and content. You know, the musical side comes pretty naturally as well, but that I definitely know where my greater strength lies. But it's good to push ourselves to do something that's not our natural bent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
And like you said, John, in terms of structuring those words into a particular way, that might give a melody writer a chance to start. Potentially, you could kind of do that with a particular meter in mind and look at some established hymn tunes in that meter or tunes in that meter. I think some of the lyric writers have done that previously. I've written it with this tune in mind. I'm happy to stick with this tune, but does anybody have a different tune or a better tune? So
yeah.
So potentially even presenting it in that way as a kind of chunked up metered piece, fitting an established tune, but then somebody might take it on and write a fresh tune for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully this is really clear. Like, help me. What's the question we're going to get? We put this out. What are we going to say? Do you mean?
Do I need to do the whole Bible?
Yes, yes, you do. Yes. If you leave any of it out, there's a verse in Revelation about that.
Well, I think there will be people that ask the question too: of do I just need to pick one verse? Do I need to do a whole passage? I don't know that you need to do more than one verse. I mean, maybe it makes sense for your song. And maybe there's some people who, again, the Bruno crowd among us, that'll be really excited to do, you know, something huge.
Yeah.
You know, that it could be that you pick even a passage that has a really core verse, and maybe that's the chorus, and maybe there's some other corollary verses within that passage that are the quote verse of your song, you know. So there's a lot of ways to do it, but as we've said in the past, you don't have to do all of the ways in one song.
Yes, and that's really helpful, Travis. And I love as well that the our terminology has expanded not just Bruno songs, but now the Bruno crowd. Are you in the Bruno crowd? But if you are, I can really see how that could help. And if you again, if you listen to some of Randall's songs, there are bits like that that happen sometimes, which is it's just you sometimes you've got to be a little bit playful, you've got to be a little bit creative. Choral anthems in, you know, traditional cathedral worship, they basically do this. They take a Bible text and quite playfully just, you know, pulled in repetition and other things, but rarely introduce their own words. Quite often just the words they found on the page. So, you know, get stuck into some of that. You might find some real inspiration. Or we might get, you know, might get really highbrow this month. And that'd be kind of exciting, wouldn't it?
But do you have to do that, Joel?
What?
Choral anthems.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yes, you have to do choral anthems and memory verses. Oh, that's the other thing. A memory verse is a kind of obvious place. And you could, you know, if you're doing a memory verse, then you sometimes include the reference in the memory verse because it's helpful. And that you sing that as well. So, you know, that can be. But they don't only have to be, you know, they can be devotional. I think that's the point. They could be for teaching or for learning or for remembering, but they can also be devotional, and sometimes just singing the words of scripture in itself can be a devotional experience as well. So I'm excited to see what comes out of this. I think this is going to be pretty good. There are a lot of us involved. The Bible's very long. We will only cover a small portion of it, but we'll do a lot, and I think that's really good.
I'm wondering if we need to keep repeating this challenge until we've done
every
the whole
year. It's what we do in the Psalms.
That's what I was going to say. I like the Psalms. Yeah, I'm just thinking of Jesus wept in Teze style. That feels like my song's done already.
So all that remains is for me to introduce the featured song, which this month comes from Liturgical Folk, and it is a word-for-word setting of Mary's song, the Magnificat, from the translation you can find in the Book of Common Prayer, the 1979 edition. Gentlemen, thank you very much, Travis, David, and Sam. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.
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 My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy. Shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, and he's remembered his promise of mercy. All generations will call me blessed.